Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
I think I first discovered Peter Noone's version of Oh You Pretty Things when I was researching a show we were going to do on David Bowie's connection to science fiction, his obsession with science fiction. There was a book out on that, and it was way cool. But I didn't know that. I didn't know of that song's existence until then. And since then, I've listened to it a lot. I love your version of Oh You Pretty Things, not just because it's got a little Nielsen vibe in it or a little Gilbert or Sullivan in there too, but I thought it was really cool. How did you end up working with David Bowie on that release?
Okay, you have to remember, you said it earlier that England is about the size of Alabama.
Right.
And everybody knew everybody. We had about four different newspapers, weekly newspapers that dealt with the music business. So we were kind of all connected. It's like, it's hard to imagine how small the scene was, and that everybody knew each other and knew where we were. And, you know, the Beatles are coming back on the 7th of September. It just, everybody kind of was connected somehow.
That's
and
cool.
Just to be in a group made you part of, I suppose it was a scene, a music scene.
Right.
And so he was this guy who was, he lived in Bromley in Kent, which was near London, but he was playing in all the local places, and he was kind of like an early Peter Gabriel. He was like this oddity.
Right.
And he made a record, Space Oddity, and then he had a problem with his label, and he was kind of skint, and he shows up at Mickey Most's office, and he plays Mickey his songs. You know, I'm looking, you've got Wait till my record deal runs out, and these are the songs I'm going to record. Mickey Most is our producer and my
right.
best friend, and
right.
you know, everything. And he plays him, you know, a song called Right on Mother, which I recorded, and Oh You Pretty, and it's all hunky dory, really.
Right,
and it's going to be hunky dory. And Mickey calls me and he says, "Have you ever heard of this guy David Bowie?" And I go, yeah, David Bowie, yeah. He says, well, he's here in the office, and he said, he's got a song that I think would be good for Herman's Hermit. She said, but it's so good, I think it should be your first single. I said, I don't really want to make a solo single. I like Herman's Hermit, I like all records. And he goes, nah, come up, come over and listen to the song. So I come over to listen to the song, and David plays it on the piano. And as it was then, we walk down Wardour Street, from Oxford Street, down Wardour Street. We go in the recording studio, and we record his song. Only nobody can play the piano like he did in Mickey's office.
Right.
So we said, why don't you play the piano? And he said, well, I can't play it all the way through.
Funny.
I can't play it all the way through. So Mickey says, well, play as far as you can, and then we'll stop, and then we'll edit. We'll do a thing called edit, which was a brand new thing.
Right.
And he plays it all the way through. I sing it, double track it, and that's on a Monday. And then Thursday, it's in the shops.
Yeah.
And it was a massive hit in England.
So, yeah.
So when you get a hit in England, once again, it's a small scene, and everybody knows everybody. So now we're on top of the pops, and we want to mime it because we don't think we can do it live. You can't mime it now. So the union says that you have to have the people who played on the record on the show. So now we've got Tony Wilson, who's the black bass player from a band called Hot Chocolate, who's the bass player on the record. We've
right.
got Ariel Bender on guitar and David Bowie on Top of the Pops with this guy Herman from Herman's Hermit.
I'll be darned.
And David shows up in a dress. And a
oh, funny.
With a flower in it.
Of course he would.
Yeah, so we're on Top of the Pops singing Oh You Pretty Things with a guy, you know, Herman's Hermit with a man in a dress.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty awesome time. And that
yeah.
within he liked the experience, you know, he liked working with other people outside of his thing. So
sure.
He did The Man Who Sold the World, he did with Lulu, and he did
right.
All the Young Dudes with Mott the
with
Hoople.
With Mott the Hoople, and right. Yeah. And Lou Reed like, and everything, all that, yeah.
Fantastic person. Very quiet, but very, very, very nice person. You know, the two people that I think I'm the most like, and they're Brian Jones, who was in the Stones,
right,
and David. Not
interesting.
Artistically, just, you know, like, you know, had a mom who watched out for us, and, you know, we all went to grammar school, and we all did sort of fairly well at school, and we all read lots of books before we became pop singers. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
We were well-read people.
Well, that's you know, what
everybody,
that
everybody thought he was like Brian Jones. People say he was a horrible guy. He was always fantastic with me. We had nothing but fun.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it was interesting to David. The night we did the show on David Bowie, it was all about his obsession with science fiction and the number of books and articles and short stories he read that ended up going directly into, you know, Hunky Dory, Spiders from Mars. I mean, it was clearly like a direct channeling he was doing.
Absolutely. Well, that's all. Obviously, most artists lift from work.
Right.
They know, you know, I mean, it's like, that's just the way it is. I mean, some things you just sometimes read something that really touches you and you own it. I mean, all that, you know, put any closer, put another level, you know, the words for that song are clearly science fiction. And,
right.
and, you know, I did this concert with George, Boy George recently. I went to see Boy George at Culture Club. And he came over to me, he announced me from the stage, and he said, that's Peter Noon. He recorded Oh, You Pretty Things. If you knew what that meant to boys like me, 12-year-old boys in England seeing
oh, interesting.
TV with David Bowie in a dress singing Oh, You Pretty Things, you'll drive your mama and papa's insane. It's great stuff, you know. I mean, it's quite, no, you, we didn't realize at the time how big an effect
right.
music had on our music had on other people. We only knew how music, other people's music had an effect on us.
Yeah.
We didn't know we would ever step into that arena.
There's an old expression, of course, that good authors borrow, great writers steal. Which that was actually pretty...
You know, Graham Gouldman, who was...
I love Graham Gouldman.
Yeah, he wrote, like, Listen, People, Bus Stop.
Yeah.
Heart Full of Soul, No Milk Today.
Yeah,
you know, loads of stuff that we recorded first
before 10cc. Yeah, which
yeah,
I love.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in a band called the Mockingbirds. See, it's a small scene again. He was in the Mockingbirds, and they recorded the first version of For Your Love, which never got heard. But it was that's the version we did. We heard it, we did it, and then the Yardbirds did it. So his father was a science fiction writer, was under a pseudonym. And Nom de Plume, whatever you call it. And Graham's father was a, you know, so No Milk Today and stuff like that are kind of, he told me that, like, Listen People was like, I don't know if you ever saw Tommy Rowe sing Everybody. And he goes, everybody, everybody, everybody got the blues, which is not like Listen People, but you can see that he went for that
right.
energy. Listen People, everybody.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, no, which is again why I think what I really, again, people are, you know, we're talking with Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. I love that joy that you had when I would see you all, especially in Cliffs. But I mean, I'm old enough to remember seeing you sing on Ed Sullivan. But I was a little kid, but I remember it very clearly. And my mother really liked your stuff. And so it was part of our household, and we were, you know, we'd hear it on the radio, and it was ubiquitous in like, you know, as there was for everybody else in America too. But that there was that joy that you had that, and I don't ever remember, I mean, I'm not asking you to tell stories, but I don't ever remember hearing you ever being involved in an ugly fight, thrown out of clubs, drug habit. You're just one of those guys who you just seem like you're so good in your skin and you knew the business so well and you still perform. I mean, I've watched some of your more recent stuff and you're still having fun and you're not conflicted about it. And there's just something marvelous about that.
Well, you know, I am having fun, but I've told you, I'm lucky. And, you know, it's like, recently I read Tom Jones's book, and Tom Jones was at the scene of two fights that I won. Because once upon a time, I thought I was good at fighting, but I never won. And I read in his book, I'm reading the Tom Jones book, and suddenly I remember, I'm reminded of being in Australia with Tom Jones on a beach when some thugs, you know, those Australian surfers
right.
got to pick on us. And I remember at the time saying to Tom, you know, maybe wearing the Cuban heel boots and a ruffle shirt and a toreador
right.
jacket on the beach
right.
wasn't
right.
going to its intention. I threatened them and they left us alone. And then another time in a pub in Shepparton, apparently in Tom's words, I chinned the guy, which means I knocked him out.
Sure.
I don't ever remember knocking anybody out. But I said, you know, Tom, you were at the two fights that I won. Please don't make it sound like I'm a fighter.
Well, I love that.
But, you know, I got in trouble a lot of times, but luckily it was... got in the paper once in England for breaking into my own parents' house. I got arrested for breaking into my parents'
funny.
House. I came back from an American tour and my parents had moved.
Oh, that's too funny. And you didn't know that?
I knew that they lived on Chestnut Avenue in Highton in Liverpool. And I figured I drove up, you know, got off the plane in London from an American tour, and I drove into Highton, and I'd never been there before. And I figured I would be able to look through the windows and see something that I remembered.
That was familiar. Like a sofa.
Poodles with diamante eyes that I'd won at a fair or the
right.
Redwood collection or
right.
my dad's Zane Grey collection. And I'm peeking through people's windows and the police arrived and they arrested me. No, I'm looking. Yeah. Get in the car.
That's too funny. But that's a good kind of arrest. We'll take that. But I mean,
yeah.
But what about my theory that you're a vampire because you never age? Can you confirm the fact that you actually don't age? Because, I mean, I'm not saying that to be flattering. I'm not saying it's a little spooky.
It is a bit spooky. But, you know, maybe my wife, when she sees me at 8 o'clock in the morning or people see me at the airport after a red eye,
okay.
No, my real age.
You know, okay.
There's so much great energy in the songs that I sing.
Yeah.
They rejuvenate me. And, you know, when I sing I'm Into Something Good, I put myself in the studio with those boys making that record, our first ever record, and looking at each other and laughing. And when I see the Ed Sullivan Show, I look and I can remember looking at the bass player because he'd screwed up. And looking at him and laughing about it. But the audience
right.
don't know what we're laughing at. We're
sure.
laughing at ourselves. It's such
right.
a great joy. And look at all these girls screaming at me. You know, I mean, it's kind of the joy of it. And the songs. See, the songs have got kind of, that's the sort of spiritual thing. It's in the songs. They still have this kind of magical energy. And some newspaper guy in England once called me Panglossian, and I thought it was an insult. But it means, when I looked it up that night, you know, what do you mean Panglossian?
Right, right.
How dare you? And right. It means, like, naively optimistic.
Right.
And I believe, you know, it's like I've been saying to my agent for years, get busy, you know, I only got 10 more years. Actually, right. Recently I said to him, 11 more years. but that's, I truly believe that I've got 10 good years still. With those songs,
it must be hard because of COVID and some of the other economic forces that have prevented a lot of touring. When this would have been a big time of year for you to do, you know, summer fairs. And yeah, all that. Yeah. But it is interesting because I was looking at your YouTube videos, and you just. It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to matter to me, at least as a viewer, the size of the crowd is you're still doing it. You are still that same performer that you were at 15, and this is like your moment, and you just seem to come alive, and you're not bothered by how the songs that people are making you sing. Like, you know, I just love that.
But all the good energy is within the songs, and people good. Hear the song and they're happy. It makes them happy. And, you know, we finish the show, we do the same beginning. I open the show with I'm Into Something Good, and I go straight into Wonderful World because they mean something to me.
Right.
And I think the audience pick up on that. Not a bad thing, is it? Woke up this morning feeling fine, and then, don't you know, what a wonderful world. And then I've got Listen People, and I end with, you know, near the end I do Mrs. Brown and Henry VIII. You know, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter is a very good song to sing. It's got great energy. It's a story of a boy who goes to his girlfriend's house. Nobody did that.
Right.
Nobody does that anymore. So they go, wow, that's so English. That's what English people must be like.
Yeah.
Calling the mom Mrs., you know, Mrs. Brown, I've brought these flowers around for your daughter, but you can have them if you want, because if she doesn't want them, she'll throw them out. You know, it's just a great little story. It has energy and life, and it's got some drama in it. And then I've got There's a Kind of Hush all over the world, and I go, There's a Kind of Hush, and everybody in the audience goes, all over the world.
Exactly. Right? You know... So when I had an interesting question, George Carlin's nephew, a guy named Dennis, who I follow on Twitter, asked me to ask you a question. When you check into hotels, or when you did check into hotels, you obviously couldn't check in as Peter Noon because they'd be coming after you. What were some of the names that you would use in order when you tried to be anonymous or tried to avoid the crowds?
You know, we weren't that cool. We checked in on our own names.
Did you really?
We wanted girls to find us.
Well, that's great.
Take the volume.
Well, I'll take that answer. But I know from a few baseball players and other stuff I've known, there's like an interesting collection of names they've used over the years.
Yeah, I know people use Big Bill Broomsey and
right.
Nat King Cole and all that. We would just use our, you know, I have a lot of names. My real name is Peter Blair Dennis Bernard Noon. So I'd probably be Peter Blair or Blair Dennis or...
Right.
Everybody knew what room I was in. Anybody who needed to find me could always find me.
So another question, and then we're going to go to the phones here coming up, and everyone else is going to jam the phones, wanted to talk to Peter Noon, and I will miss my opportunity if I don't take it now. Are you on other people's records? I know there was a lot of that kind of cross-pollinization you were talking about while y'all were touring, but when you started to record, do you pop up in the background, you know, singing choruses because you were down the hallway and somebody else was recording somewhere else? Are there things that the rest of us don't know? Like what?
Them, but they're hard to remember. You know, I'm on quite a few Donovan records.
Are you?
You know, what would happen is that, you know, we were not competitors. Something happened to the music business. I don't know, maybe in the 70s, I don't know, suddenly it became like this competition, like a teen idol, American Idol kind of singing competition. We didn't have any of that. You know, lots of, like Jimmy Page just happened to be in the studio on another project, and we said, can you come and play this? And he didn't say, oh, I want a quarter of the song.
right?
Because I came up with the lick, you know. None of that. Everybody was kind of handy. I was often at Donovan recording. I went to all the Animals recordings because Mickey Most would book them the Red Eye thing. They'd go midnight till 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be at the right. 9 o'clock till noon. And that's the way it always was. So I'm on Donovan, and I'm on an Elton John record. I'm on a, you know, just people whoever was recording. I'm not on any Beatles records. They threw me out every time I went near the studio. Get rid of him.
It's too funny.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.